Good to be here tonight. At my age, it's good to be anywhere. So again, thank the Lord for the pray for our pastor. I when he called me this morning, wanted to know if I was available. I just didn't know what he wanted at first. So, but I'm glad to be here. And you pray for him. I haven't had that flu yet. Hope I don't get it. And if you think you're going to get it, you shake my hand. I'll put a contract out on you. I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to be at different places tonight. But I was going to preach on Luke 5 when I walked in here and saw the tile being removed from the ceiling up there, because I preached on that in Atworth, Georgia, last Sunday night. But I didn't know, probably wouldn't be a good thing when your ceiling's falling down anyway. But it's good to be here. Go to Isaiah 40. Verse 31, I want to speak here on this verse, just a thought or two, as we look here tonight. And I think here when it says in verse 4, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We are to run the Christian life. It's a race, is it not? And our goal will be heaven. And we're to walk in the Lord. But I thought about an eagle, the most majestic animal God created, as you look, as a soaring eagle in the air. And it's an animal that has no desire to be down here, loves to be up into the clouds, up into the atmosphere. And I thought to myself, what would that eagle do without two wings? He can't get there with one wing. We need two wings. And I want to talk tonight, the wing called prayer and the wing called praise. Those are the two wings that every Christian needs in order to soar into the heavens above and to enjoy that. I'm thinking over there in Colossians along with this, ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And so I know of no way to get to that place than prayer and praise. And I the older I get, the more I know and I need prayer. I need to pray. I hope you feel guilty when you miss that subject of prayer. The wing called prayer. Prayer is going to the closet. I'm thinking of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. We're reminded over there. If you just want to turn there for a moment, we're going to be all over the Bible, but that's a good thing to do. And as you turn to Matthew 6, and I come over there to verse 6, we read these words, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Now that is a heavenly environment, a happy environment. We're to go into that and we're to shut the door and we're to remove everything from our interest. Oftentimes I get into prayer and it's just as though I've got to close the door and not hear the sounds of this mixed up world that we live in. Going to the closet. It's a happy environment. It's a place where we're not distracted, where we have no doubts, where we enjoy that fellowship. It's not only a place of a happy environment, it's a place of a heavenly experience. I was thinking again of another verse over there in 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter as I turn there. Here's the Apostle Paul. He makes a statement here. And I think this is really a thought about prayer. I know a man, he says in verse 2 of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot, God knoweth, such as one caught up to the third heaven. That's what prayer is. I don't think you leave your body, but you do in a sense that your mind is so focused upon Him that you are certainly caught up. It's a place of happy environment. It's certainly a place of heavenly experience. See, it's a place of expressing your heart. There are things that you can go to prayer. I'm talking about private prayer. You have to be careful when you're praying with a group that you don't share things about your life. Be better off between you and the Lord. Amen? Oftentimes I hear prayer requests that are nothing more than gossip about somebody else. It's a place of expression, heartfelt. It's where you can share your heart of the things you just can't share with others. It sheds in your burdens. Let me say, let it be routine without ritual. I'm thinking of Daniel, chapter 6 and verse 10, when he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and gave thanks as before time. It was certainly routine, but not ritual. It's where you share your heart. It's not only going to the closet. I'm reminded of a young man who just got saved, and he asked the pastor, give me some ideas. And he talked about prayer, and he read to him Matthew 6, told him to go home, study it, Matthew 6 on prayer. And he did that, and he come back later, and he said, how you doing? He said, I'm really growing in my Christian life, but I have a hard time breathing sometimes. He said, breathing? He said, yeah, the Bible says get into your closet and close the door. Sometimes I just want to need some oxygen. Well, he missed the point. It certainly is a place where we need to go and to be with Lord, not a physical closet. All but there ought to be a place where you can go with just you and God on a regular routine time with the Lord. Go to the closet. Build a chapel within the soul. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. The Apostle Paul gives us in the book of Ephesians 2 prayers. The first one is in chapter 1, and the second one there is in chapter 3. But I will notice this prayer. When I look here, the prayer that he prayed here, I sense a chapel being built in his soul. Do you have a chapel? You know, in Ambassador Baptist, you go what? You go to chapel. You ought to go to chapel every day. You ought to build a chapel within your own soul where you enjoy. Build a chapel within the soul. Beginning at verse 15, I believe he has some great truth on prayer. Notice, if you will, in verse 15. And before I read this, we are independent Baptists. Amen? But sometimes that's a problem. We get so independent, we don't need each other. We need interdependence. Look here in verse 15 verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he talks about that interdependent on each other. That's what this prayer meeting is really all about. We need each other. We need to pray for each other. For whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, the family of God. This is a family. You enjoy your family? This is the family of God in this local church. He not only talks about interdependence of each other, but then he goes on to talk about inner strength in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now my outer man isn't always doing well. Your husband's outer man is not doing well, but the inner man is. Strengthen in the inner man. I have found in my own personal life, if I do not have prayer in my life, I become so weak, so fragile, so depressed, so discouraged, because I'm dependent upon me. But I not only see here in verse 15 the interdependence of each other. That's what the chapel is all about. The inner strength, verse 16, but the indwelling Christ, verse 17. Look what he says here. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, he's not talking about salvation here. The word dwell literally means to feel at home, to where you have within you a chapel, a place where he feels so much at home in your own being. And then in verse 18 and 19, I believe he not only talks about inner dependence in that chapel and inner strength through the Holy Spirit and indwelling Christ, but infinite fullness. In verse 18 and 19, as he prays, he said, may be comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. I don't know of a time when you're more filled with God than you are when you're praying. When you're praying, and it's just as though, listen, when you're filled with the fullness of God, there's no room for bitterness, for grudges, for anxiety, for discouragement. There's just no room left. Notice what he says there, be filled with the fullness, meaning no room for anything else. The wing called prayer, going to the closet, building a chapel within, and living, thirdly, in the counsel of the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. Now, I know we have today, we have counselors, and people come to me now and then for advice, but I'm going to tell you something. The greatest counselor you have is the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to Psalm 46. Turn there with me, if you will, please, and look with me in Psalm 46. And as I see this, I see here this need. He deals with, first, our resources in time of trouble. Then the raging struggles that we face in our rest in the Holy Spirit. You say, I don't see the Holy Spirit. I think you do. Watch it with this verse, these verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Present tense, isn't it? Amen? For today. 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 I'm thankful for that. So we have our resources and a very present help in trouble. The word here, notice that if you look at that verse again, the word troubled here means in a tight place. You ever been in a tight place? Sure you have. It may be a financial tight place. It may be something in your family, but there's been times in your life when there has been those narrow places where, how am I going to get out of this? And then after he deals with that verse, he deals, I believe, with the raging struggles that we face. And he uses this to illustrate even symbolically of the earth there in verse 2 and 3. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed. That would be something. Though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. In other words, you see raging here. And a lot of times we go through raging times where we wonder, how are we going to get through it? But then if I come down to verse 4, I hope in that verse you see somewhat of the Holy Spirit. Because in verse 2 and 3, there is those raging storms, the mountains quaking and the waters rushing. But then he says, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. If you want to write there for a reference, John 7, verse 38, verse 39, out of your belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. I don't know about you, but I enjoy going, looking at a river, just observing it, being by it. It's kind of a peaceful place when it's all calm so much, and that's the Holy Spirit. He knows he is our resources, Even though we're going through the raging times, we have that restful stream. And I will tell you that you cannot go through a time of prayer and walk away from it. And I want to just say this and not feel good. Say, are we to go on our feelings? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit can control your feelings. And He can make you walk away from a prayer time whereby you say, you know, it's all going to work out. I remember years ago, I think I often cannot forget when I was pastor at Northside Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina. I had only been there a year when our church had to discipline two very wealthy families. And they sued us. In the midst of all that, four moral problems were uncovered in our church. Somebody asked me, did we have a jail ministry? I said, oh yeah, we have three of them in jail right now. One more is about ready to go. Because it had to do with young people that they were involved with. It all hit the newspapers. It was a time in our lives where I wondered how I was going to make it. But I can remember driving in my car down Highway 26. And I have to be honest with you, I had a hard time praying. But as I was driving down that road, the Holy Spirit began to just deal with me. And I yelled out in the car, Lord, life is not fair. Why are we going through this? And that brings up the second wing, praise. I can remember as I prayed to Him that day, and the blessed Spirit of God said, your whole problem, Stevens, is you're not praising me. And I said in that car, I don't feel like praising you. And the Holy Spirit, as sure as I'm standing here that day, said to me, do it anyway. And I began to praise the Lord in that automobile. Tears began to run down my cheeks. The Holy Ghost took over. I got so excited, I did something I don't recommend. I guided the car with my knees and raised my hand and praised God in that automobile. I was free. The Holy Spirit gave me new feelings and took over. As I was praising the Lord, I looked to the car. There was a two-lane road, and this fella next to me was gone. So he pointed to me. But you know, that particular time, I was with the Lord, caught up to the third heaven. Have you been caught up? That's what God wants us to do in our troubled times. That's what He means here, as all those things rage. Then I think of the other wing. Can an eagle soar with just one wing? No. He needs that other one. And I believe that's the wing of praise. Now, why we need to praise God? I think there are two main reasons. We praise God because of His greatness. Oftentimes, I will hear people say, isn't God good? And I believe that. Amen? But praise should begin with His greatness. Because when I think of goodness, we're always thinking of what God's doing for us. Isn't it interesting we don't want to say God is good when there's catastrophes in our lives? But no matter what you go through, God is great. The greatness of God. You have up here Ephesians 1:12, to the praise of His glory. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 for just a moment tonight. Three times, actually, it is said there in chapter 1. And when I go over here, if you take a moment, the wings of praise, that's the other wing. It cannot go to soar to the heavens above with one wing. It needs them both. And when I come over here to this chapter, beginning in verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And then in verse 6, you have the first time it says it, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's praise to the Father because of his grace. Praise to the Father. What? Because of his grace. Because of his grace. Have you thought about the fact that you are here tonight by the grace of God, that you're not burning in hell or will not go to hell? It is his grace. When things seem to look so bad, so hard in life, I ask us all just to praise him for his grace. Thank God for the grace the Father gives us that we can praise him. Then I think in verse 7 to verse 12, you have praise to the Son. What? For his gift of redemption. In verse 7, and to whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Thank God for the gift of redemption. And then he concludes that section there in verse 12 that we should be what? To the praise of his glory. Second time he mentions it. Praise to God the Father for his grace. Praise to God the Son for his gift of salvation. And then when I pick up there in verse 13 and 14, we find praise to the Spirit for his guarantee. I'm going to heaven. You're going to heaven. The Holy Spirit guarantees that. Look there in verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, never to be broken. Hallelujah. There's a guarantee tonight. Because, and then he says again the third time in verse 14, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? Your redemption is not complete until everything about you is saved. You do not have a saved body tonight. But if you did, it wouldn't look that bad. Because your body is yet to be redeemed. That's what he's talking about in verse 14. But he says, into what? The praise of his glory. Praise to God the Father for his grace. Praise to God the Son for his gift. Praise to the Holy Spirit because he guarantees we're going to spend eternity with God. If nothing else, praise him for his greatness. Only God's grace, only God's gift, only God's guarantee would really work. But not only because of the greatness of God, secondly, because of the goodness of God. It's very important, I think, at times. I don't know about you, but when things are going against me, I've had to stop and thank God for his goodness. I've had people say, I can't see anything good to come out of this. Did you ever hear anybody say that to you? And I always remind them of Romans 8:28. All things work together for what? For what? There you go. Turn with me to Psalm 103. And as I look here, I see in this verse, this wing, we not only praise him because of his greatness, but of his goodness. Look with me here, if you will, please. This Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. That's praise. What do we praise him because of his provision? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? Benefits. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see with God. Psalm 68, verse 19. You might want to write that by verse 2. It says, bless the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. And here's the word benefits in Psalm 103 and verse 2. I think about all the benefits God has given me. You see, we don't have enough God's people praising him for his benefits. All the good things, all the provision. You had a car to get here tonight. You have enough health to get here tonight. Evelyn doesn't. But she's praising the Lord anyway, in spite of it. Praise Him for His provision. And then praise Him for His power to heal. Now, don't miss something here, and don't take it out of context. Look in verse 2 and verse 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Underline the word soul there. Who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our diseases. Those diseases there are not referring to the body. If it be so, I wouldn't be in pain tonight. I think you, most of you heard, I fell on the ice in Ackworth. And if I wasn't a Christian, I'd sue him. No, I'm just kidding. But I did fall. And my feet went up in the air, and I'm still, you know. But I want to tell you something. That's not what He's talking about here. He's talking here about the power to heal our soul. I think tonight, we can praise Him. Not the, these. What is some of the diseases we get? How about discouragement? How about depression? There are more Christians in depression today than I have ever seen. We seem to forget the goodness of God. I am talking about real deep depression. I deal with people all the time. More Christians are going to doctors trying to get some relief from depression. And the doctors give them, they call it wonder drugs. You know why? Because you take it and you wonder what's going to happen to you next. They're relying upon their, Jay Adams wrote in a book that I have in my library. He said more people, he said he used to work in the mental institutions. He said, I believe we could clear out most of the mental institutions if we get people to get right with God. Confess their need of Christ. And I say amen to that, because it is so true. Our discouragements, our depressions, our worries. Are you worrying about something? You can get healed. Let me say, meditation is the greatest medication for your ailments and my ailments. That I can go to Him and tuck it to Him, and then praise Him for it. Then I think here in this text, not only of the benefits, the provision, the power to heal. He can heal your problems, whatever they are. I am tired of these so-called psychiatrists coming out of our many of our colleges today, trying to tell us, well, you need to go to a psychiatrist. This, the Bible doesn't, you know, it doesn't have all the answers. Every answer it has for you and for me tonight. I don't believe anything other than that. And we need to realize this has the answer to every problem that we have tonight. And I believe prayer and praise does. As we raise higher and higher into His presence, then I think thirdly, not only do I see here, thank God, goodness because of His provision, the power to heal whatever we're going through, but promises of protection. Promises. Look there with me, if you will, in verse 8. I want you to see this. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The promises of God are right here. Let me say this to us. His, underline the word mercy and merciful and gracious. That's His mercy. You know what mercy is? It's not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. But let me make sure we understand. They're unexpired. There's no end to them. Look there in the verse. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. It's always there. I'm so glad it's unexpired. And I want you to notice verse 9. Whenever you're going through what you're going through, listen, look at verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Let me say this, undeserved as well as unexpired. I have to stop and think when I, living, going to prayer, living this Christian life, I don't know why God isn't angry with me. I haven't figured that one out. I have failed him so many times, but listen to me, he has not failed me one time. It's undeserving. Undeserving. And his promises of protection, not only unexpired in verse 8 and undeserving in verse 9, but unexplainable in verse 10. He had not dealt with Esther our sins. That is unexplainable. Well, if he dealt with John Stevens after he sins, I'd be in real trouble tonight. Maybe I'm the only one that room this feels that way. I don't think I'm the only one. He had not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Have you sinned this week? Anyone here not sinned this week? Would you raise your lying hand? Aren't you glad it's unexplainable, his grace, his mercy? I just can't explain it. I'm in my process now of trying to win my brother to Christ. He recently fell, and he broke his hip. He's 2 years older than me. I'm 76, he's 78. He's a professing atheist, an atheist. And I remember more than one, twice, I believe, as we went to his house. First time I went there, he spent hours trying to get there, and he wouldn't even turn his TV off. He said, I don't believe any of that stuff. Last time I was there, he said to his wife, turn the TV off. He said to me, sit over here, and he held my hand, and I prayed with him. And now he's in trouble, health-wise, and he's listening. He's listening! Isn't that what it's all, unexplainable? How God could save me, and I'm the only one in my family that I know of who really knows Christ. I got some half-sisters who have no change in their life and profess to be saved. I had a mother go out into eternity, Roman Catholic, and did my best to share with her the gospel. I have to wait to the other side of death to find out if she really accepted Christ. I had a dad who the last time I saw him was at a bar with a beer in his hand and wouldn't accept Christ. But I don't know why, as I walk away from all that, I said, why? Why would you save me? Who am I? Who are you that God would do that? Wow. It's not only expired, no end to it in verse 8, undeserving in verse 9, unexplainable in verse 10, and unmeasurable here in verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy. High above the earth. Wow. Can't get all the way up there. No astronaut. None of them have gotten that high where he is. As far as it, then he says in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now you can measure north and south. Notice God's word is accurate. Didn't say north and south. It said east and west. Can't measure those distances. Aren't you? It's just unmeasurable. So tonight, we're going to have prayer soon, the wings of prayer. We need it. You need the wing of praise to seek him who is above. Father, thank you tonight for your two wings. We're eagles wanting to fly, wanting to soar into the heavens above. My prayer is tonight they'll understand how much you care for us. Lord, we have nothing to complain about. We have everything to thank you for. In Christ's name, amen.